This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Mark Krikorian, Executive Director, Center for Immigration Studies. We turn to them for the latest in what's happening with immigration policy in this country. Mark, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
So, Mark, there's so much going on. I really want to get you guys back because I was watching your podcast at the border last evening about fertility rates in this country, and very interesting, the fertility of immigrants and natives in the United States of 2023. You had Steve Camerata and others on, I believe, if my memory serves me correct. Very well done. So I'm going to get you guys back on to talk about that because it's very interesting, and a lot of economists are now actually quoting a lot of what y'all have done in your research paper.
Yeah, the issue on the birth rates issue and fertility is that in a lot of the ordinary discourse, but even among politicians and people who should know better, they talk about immigration as a way to fix our, you know, low birth rates. And the kind of premise behind this, and Jeb Bush, if anybody even remembers him, was very outspoken about this, that basically having babies is a job Americans won't do, so we need to import immigrants to do it for us. And we just looked at the numbers, and it's false. First of all, there's lots of people here already, and immigration would have to be hugely more larger every year than it is now to make much of a difference mathematically. And the big reason for that is that immigrants do generally have a birth rate somewhat higher than the native born, but not that much. And it goes down when they're here. So if there's an issue with birth rates, and all modern societies have some issue, I mean, the point is not to have, you know, explosive population growth, but people just, you know, our populations are going to start declining everywhere. They already are declining in a bunch of places. That's a problem that we need to address. And there are a number of suggestions, whether it's policy can help or cultural issues, whatever it is, immigration isn't going to fix it. That's a Band-Aid that just helps us ignore it.
Well, there could be a lot of fun with that conversation about fertility, right? And my next segment, I'm talking about fluoride in the drinking water. Could be connected,
right, yeah, well,
who knows?
For sure.
But I wanted to talk to you. Recently, the Trump administration is offering a stipend for illegal aliens who voluntarily self-deport. And we know that there's a cost with deportation. And we also know there's a heavy cost when there are delays. You don't have enough immigration judges. You can't get folks through this, what I would describe as a somewhat cumbersome process, that if they self-deport, a lot of countries around the world are doing that, actually, right now, as we speak, similar policy changes, and seems to be working for them. Will it work here? What are your thoughts?
Well, it might, and it's definitely worth trying. There's kind of two parts to something like this. There's a carrot and a stick. And so what people have been talking about is the carrot, that, you know, you'd get $1,000 once you land back in your home country. And also that you get a free airline ticket. And so some people have said, well, $1,000 is not really very much. Will that make a difference? I don't know. It might. This is the kind of thing we have to try a bunch of different things. But the stick part is important because the administration has said it's going to start enforcing the rule, the law. It's in the law. Nobody's bothered to enforce it. That if you're an alien here, you are required to register with the government within 30 days. And so for a legal visitor or a green card holder or what have you, they register just by coming here. I mean, they have their documents and they show up and they say hi. That means they have registered with the government because the government knows they're here. Illegal aliens don't do that. But if you don't, you are liable for a fine of up to $1,000 a day that you didn't register with the government. And so that's the stick that the administration is saying, that if we find you, anything you own, your car, your home, a lot of illegal aliens own homes. They're not all slaving away. We're going to take that. It's going to be forfeit. So why not take the $1,000, keep your own property, sell it or whatever you want to do, take it home with you, and you get a free airline ticket. It's a much better deal than the alternative. And so we'll see whether this works, but it's definitely worth trying. Other countries have done it. And the details and the implementation matter, but the idea itself is quite sound.
And there is another benefit, right? If you engage in this, they almost forget that you came here illegally because they will allow you to come back in a legal fashion, and you're not punished.
Right. That's the point, is that you would potentially, I mean, it's not guaranteed, but you would potentially preserve your ability to come back legally, whereas if you're arrested and deported, you lose that chance. And so for instance, if you're a illegal immigrant couple and you had kids here, they're U.S. citizens, they don't have to leave if they don't want. And if they're, you know, old enough, they're 18 or whatever, there's no reason for them to leave if you get deported. But you may not be able to see your grandchildren, or at least come to the U.S. to see your grandchildren, if you wait around until you get arrested and deported. Whereas if you pack your stuff up, you know, sell your house and give your car to your kid and then go back home, you may well have a chance to be able to just have normal visits to the United States and then go back home. So, yes, it's an important perk of avoiding deportation is not only that you get to go home on your own terms in a dignified way, but you also preserve your ability potentially to come back legally in the future.
So, Mark, I'm going to ask you to go way out on the limb here. How long before this ends up in court?
Oh, I don't know. what is it? What time is it now? You know what I mean? It depends on, presumably they have to use it on somebody. In other words, they've announced it, but I don't know that anybody's taken them up on it. And what would probably end up in court would be the stick part to get people to do this, which is to say that they're going to be fining people who did not register their presence with the government, which, you know, illegal immigrants generally don't do. And so that's what's going to, I think, end up in court. And it's that stick that is the thing that I think is most likely to drive people to make this kind of decision to take the money and the free airline ticket.
But that was the whole intent when Congress passed this. You know, it's amazing to me is that on the one hand, the detractors to immigration policy are saying, well, Congress needs to take action. Well, they did take action. It just doesn't happen to be the action that you like.
Right.
You know, so we have the laws on the books, and then every time we go to enforce the laws on the books, you want to take people to court. And some of these laws have been on the books for decades.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's this isn't so much an issue of a kind of new rules. It's an issue of actually enforcing the rules that are there rather than looking the other way and ignoring them. And because we've ignored them and our leadership class in both parties, frankly, for such a long time has basically wanted to pass immigration laws that look tough and then not bother to enforce them in order to satisfy other political or business interests, that getting back to normal immigration law enforcement seems like some kind of big deal. when in fact all it is, like I said, is normal immigration law enforcement.
I'm going to go step out and pivot, and you don't have to answer if you don't like, Mark, but I think you'll be able to handle it. In what universe did you ever think that mainstream media was going to go and talk to an MS-13 gang member in Mexico in order to learn what they thought of your president, of our president, right?
Yeah, no, it is kind of crazy. I used to joke that this, hatred of Trump, and look, you didn't vote for him, you didn't vote for him, it's fine. But I mean, the hatred of Trump is so dysfunctional that if the guy said it's good to take showers every day, a lot of people would just stop bathing in order to spite, you know, the bad orange man. Well, they've basically done the
Let's
media,
hope he doesn't say that, please. Let's hope
yeah,
he
well,
does
okay,
not
that's true. Yeah. They've essentially done the meme, as they say online, where Trump deports not just an MS-13 member, but a guy who's a wife beater. I mean, like a repeated wife beater that required police intervention, who's also an alien smuggler, and they've turned into him into some kind of hero. All they had to do was say, look, this is a really bad guy, and we want him out of the country too, but there are rules, and we need to follow the rules. That was something that would have resonated with some portion of the public. Instead, they have to say, this guy is, you know, Mahatma Gandhi, and, it's a war crime to deport him. And then once the information comes out about what these people are, also some of these Columbia University guys who are, you know, Jew-hating exterminationists, they're turning him into heroes, and then it blows up in their face, which is why the Democratic leader in the House, the House of Representatives, Hakeem Jeffries, said publicly, he told the members of his caucus, Democrats in the House, he said, no more trips to El Salvador. Stop doing this. It's not working for us. They can't help themselves.
Yeah, and I think people are confusing. Looking at our text line, I'm talking about the mainstream media individual that went to Mexico and spoke to an MS-13 member,
okay.
not the person you were talking about.
Right.
You know, and that was this interview that was conducted, and you know, they're asking this person, "What do you think of Trump?" Because Trump wanted to, you know, come there and help with eliminating this gang and says that we need to disrupt their economic model in order to help dismantle these organizations. And it's like, I've never imagined that mainstream media would go ask them what they think. They've
Trump's
smuggled millions of pounds of fentanyl across the borders, killed tens of thousands of U.S. citizens, and we're worried about what an MS-13 member might think?
Yeah, I mean, like, these guys would have gone and, you know, interviewed the Japanese about, wasn't it really wrong of us to cut off gasoline, and isn't that really the reason they bombed Pearl Harbor? Basically, anybody who's not Trump, and in a broader sense, anyone who is opposed to the United States is kind of valorized by these people, is made, turned into a hero, and it's perverse, whether it's Che Guevara or this MS-13 person they're interviewed.
They also seem to have a problem with the fact that under the existing laws, that if you enforce them, there are going to be positive outcomes. When you look at the lack of illegal border crossings today, it seems to frustrate them that there isn't anything that's going on in the border that seems out of the ordinary, contrary to law or otherwise, and that they're almost disappointed that it actually worked. It's amazing.
Oh, they're definitely, they're definitely disappointed, because they were saying, remember, a year ago, they were saying the Biden administration is helpless to deal with this, and they could only respond if Congress passed this legislation that they snookered a Republican senator into co-sponsoring, Senator Lankford from Oklahoma, which in fact was written by Biden's own Homeland Security Department and would have codified the policies that created the border policy, the border crisis. So it didn't happen, luckily. And then Trump took office, and boom, it's 95% drop immediately in illegal crossings. And it wasn't just for a couple of days. we're now into, what, 3.5 months? And it's still low. In fact, it went down last month compared to the month before. So, yeah, the Democrats are rooting for failure at the border because the alternative is that their policies were, in fact, the failure.
So where does this go from here now? Obviously, you know, we've engaged in the lawfare. This is getting caught up in almost every federal district court and appellate circuit across the country. I certainly hope we get to the Supreme Court at some point in time because we are getting different rulings on different issues. Your thoughts about that?
Yeah, the Supreme Court definitely needs to step in, and for two reasons. One is, obviously, when there are competing and conflicting decisions from different appellate courts, it's the function of the Supreme Court to sort of decide that so that there's one consistent rule. But maybe even more importantly is that these district court judges, which is sort of the lowest level of federal courts, are issuing these injunctions that apply to the whole country, basically to prevent the executive branch from doing anything. And this is something the Supreme Court needs to step in on. Congress, there's been a number of bills introduced to limit the ability of some judge in Hawaii to set all national policy. But the Democrats won't do that because the judges doing this are Democrats. In other words, they are promoting Democratic policy, and these district court judges are really not acting as judges anymore. They're acting as legislators. They're making law just because they think it should be that. And so Congress isn't going to be able to act. Supreme Court does need to slap them down. And there's a number of ways they could do this, but this is kind of creating a crisis. I mean, I don't want people overuse this constitutional crisis term, but these district court judges just making up law on their own and trying to run the government, basically, is a crisis, and Supreme Court is going to have to step in.
Yeah, what's really confusing to me as a lawyer is that compelling expenditures, discretionary acts that these folks under the law are able to exercise, where they're stepping in and saying, no, you don't have that discretion. You have to do this.
Right.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
I've not seen this line of reasoning before. It's amazing.
Well, years ago, if you remember the forced busing crisis, remember that in the 70s?
Yeah.
There were judges just taking over school systems and saying, you have to bus people here and there and overseeing the bus routes and all that kind of nonsense. I thought we'd gotten past that. It was something we worked out of our system, but apparently not. And Supreme Court is going to have to step in. And if they don't, eventually Congress is going to have to strip the lower courts of some of their authority.
No doubt. Mark Krikorian, always appreciate your time, your insight. Executive Director, Center for Immigration Studies. Have a great week, sir.
Thanks. You too.